It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so you'll recall last week.
What?
Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
It'll become clear eventually.
All right.
Last week, remember I told you that weird story about my marriage and my life and how weird it was with my wife that wanted to set up a dating app account.
Oh, yeah.
To be
yeah,
a woman,
right.
And she's like, not until you finish your book. I have a parallel story.
Okay.
Not about my marriage, more about my job.
Okay.
So, not Wednesday. I guess it was probably Tuesday. I don't know. Whatever day of the week it was, that was National Bosses Day, which apparently is a thing.
why are you acting like you guys did stuff for Bosses Day when you worked for me?
I don't remember that. I remember doing stuff for you. I thought it was for your birthday or whatever.
Oh, well, that too. You guys
National
were very
Bosses
nice.
Day is a crazy
you
idea.
You guys were very nice to me.
You know what you get for being a boss? More money. Anyway. But National Bosses Day, and I find this out in the middle of the day from something.
Okay.
So, I get up, go over to my boss's office, which is right there. I open the door, and I say, "So, according to the internet, it's National Bosses Day."
According to the
so,
internet.
Do you, like, want a Mountain Dew or something?
Mountain Dew. Well, did she?
And she genuinely paused and thought about it for a second and then said, yeah.
See?
And so then I went and got her Diet Mountain Dew because I know that's what she and I drink, so I know.
Back
and
when I was your manager, you would have come and asked me if I wanted chicken.
That's true. I do that now. No, but that whole thing and I mean, I guess this is maybe the slightly sadder part. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person who did anything for her for Boss's Day, and I just did that. Just because I don't, it wasn't well publicized, so I don't know.
No,
it came
sure,
up.
Right.
But just the whole thing that like that was my response, that was her response, that she took it like very like seriously, like yeah, no, that sounds good. And then I went and got it for her, and just came back, and I was like, "Happy Bosses Day, here you go." And then I went back to work. I love that. I love that about my life and my job. She did actually later send me a thank you email.
That's nice.
That's. I mean, in this case, I just picked that because I'm like, I know that's a thing she likes that I can purchase in this building. but in this case, it's good. She did some international travel that had left her very jet-lagged. So in that instance, I'm like, oh, I bet that helped a lot. And she said it did, so that was good. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. Forgot what we were called for a second. The only podcast in the world that was once described as the Kermit the Frog and Fozzie Bear of podcasting. What? It's true.
Why did you think you had to sort of prime me for that?
Because I don't think it had been called that before.
Well, so?
So now it's officially been called that.
But
I would have been lying otherwise,
see.
I'm saying. Okay. I mean, I guess I could have said it alone in a room, but
Why do you care
about
lying?
I wasn't trying to brief you. I was just trying to make the statement true.
Okay. What have you ever cared about that? Telling the truth?
Hey, I care about the truth when I also get to mess with a friend's head at the same time.
And that you did.
That's the thing.
Well done. Well
I don't
played.
Lie if it won't cause any trouble. sometimes the truth causes more trouble.
That's right.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 397.
Yes. Yeah, so you just gotta know. It's about the trouble. It's not about the lying or the not lying. It's about the trouble.
Gotcha.
Let me do the quick one, Don. So, if you're just joining us for the first time, it's not about the lying. It's about the trouble. We have a hat. It's magic, and then it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, awesome people, the people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Servants, draw note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show, except for the parts that aren't, which is most of it. So, it's only been 1 week again. We've been on a pretty good run lately. I keep thinking, like, how many weeks has it been? No, it's been one.
Just one.
How's your week been? You keep staring at your hand. Is it going to do something?
It's hurt.
What did you do?
It just happens. I get cracks in my hand when winter starts.
Ooh. Probably means you need to hydrate better.
Yeah, probably. We watched a Netflix original series streaming on Netflix.
I may be about to stop you. Go on.
But you did stop me. No, you didn't about stop me. You kind
of
did.
I may be about to stop you. Stop you.
The Haunting of Hill House?
Oh, no. This is fine. I'm curious about this. Don't give away anything because I want to watch it. But I am curious. It's not what I thought you were going to say. Go ahead.
You're going to watch it?
I think I want to.
Okay. Well,
I've seen many versions. Because the thing is, this is like one of the most remade horror stories out there.
Yes, that's correct.
It gets done and done and done and done. There's two versions just called The Haunting of Hill House. There's a version called The Haunting. There's a version called Rose Red. I think there's a couple others. And now there's this, which is a limited series instead.
Stephen King was involved with the whole Rose Red thing.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't read the book, but I've...
It's based off of a book from 53 or something. It's a pretty old book.
I want to say 56, but here's the thing. Like, as you say, since there's been so many, I'm not even sure if I've seen all of any one of those versions, but I've seen enough stuff and heard enough stuff that I pretty much know how it goes. So I had some expectations about it that weren't met.
No, it sounds like they really messed with it this time.
Oh, yeah.
They also messed with it with the 90s one that everybody hates.
Yeah. But if you set that aside, like if you go into it knowing, the way I didn't know, that this wasn't really going to be much like, say, the story that you've heard's in the book.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good, I thought. But I thought you didn't like... I thought you were very picky about the horror stuff you watched because sometimes it can really upset you.
I am picky in that I want it to be supernatural based.
Okay.
Or at least arguably supernatural based. I don't like horror that is just, here's people being horrific to people.
Right. Okay.
So, and you can even to a degree go with if they're just crazy, then that works. But then you get into a whole thing where I feel like you're exploiting the concept of mental illness,
sure.
That can become a problem.
Sure. Well.
But, like, I'm totally down with Satanists, even if they aren't successful in raising Satan. Because I'm like, no, you count. You're fucked up and
this,
evil. That's
this
fine.
Show is, you don't want to sleep with your light off scary.
Ooh.
So if you're into that.
All right, let me ask you something, though, because this is the thing. Jump scares?
I don't remember.
Because that's, I like scary conceptually. I fucking hate jump scares.
I don't remember there being very... Well, I take that back.
I mean, I can handle some. And some of our viewers hate it worse than me, so it's good, viewers. Listeners, you know, ear viewers.
Okay, let me go back and say... I don't know how much to say.
Don't say much. This is probably safe.
Well, but you asked about jump scares. I would say the average number of times my wife screamed very loudly... To the extent where I was jumping because of her scream, not because of what I was seeing on the screen, was once an episode.
All right. Yeah, the fact that you could calculate the average is not a good sign, unless you're like one over the number of episodes. Once an episode. That's a fair
bit. I mean, because there were a couple episodes where there were at least two, and there was, I'm sure there was one where there weren't any, but I think the average is one episode.
All right. Well, we'll see, and... Yeah, we'll see.
But that is
good information to have.
The reason you asked about the jump scares and I said I didn't remember them is because these things that happened, they didn't seem like I guess I didn't register them as jump scares because jump scares to me are really cheap. They never work on me particularly, and I'm annoyed by them. But these I wasn't annoyed by because they seemed not to just be a cheap.
Well, and then I can even kind of get into it if I'm like this. I don't like being startled.
Yeah.
And I especially don't like being startled for no reason. And the cat jumps out. Like, fuck you.
Like, it wasn't anything like that I recall.
But sometimes someone's like, oh, yes, by the way, this person's a demon or something. And you're like, oh, like, that is cool. I'm fine with that. And I've gotten better over the years because if you refuse to do jump scares, you just can't watch horror. At all.
That's true.
So I have, over the years, I have learned to sort of adjust a little bit.
But yeah, those jump scares where someone just drops a cake pan or something and someone looks, but...
And again, this is a problem I have with a lot of the a lot of the PG-13 horror, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And that's why one of the scariest things for me for a long time was the movie The Others. There is no violence in that movie, but there's a shit ton of jump scares.
Well, I don't think any of them were trivial or wasted in this, even though there were some, obviously. And it's another thing that we liked about it, both my wife and I both liked about it, because she didn't really know too much about the original source material, so she wasn't bothered by because I really did anticipate I was going to see a certain thing and didn't see it, so
you gotta watch out for that.
Yeah, I had to sort of get over that.
That's why don't read the book right before the movie kind of thing.
Yeah, but the thing is they could have not even made reference to the source material, and it would have been just fine. I don't know why they even bothered.
It's usually a marketing thing.
But anyway,
yeah.
It was one thing that we both appreciated about it. I was just saying that. What was I going to say?
It came with a free pizza.
No, it didn't.
Like,
but anyway, it
came with a free pizza.
It's on Netflix. You can binge watch the whole thing if you want to. Another thing is
there's a lot of interesting looking horror on Netflix right now.
This wasn't the thing I was going to say.
Netflix just came up with that I'm very curious.
This
about.
Wasn't the thing I was going to say, but there's a lot of monologuing in it.
Oh.
And some of it's super good.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good. And some of it, I think maybe it depends on the actor. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it almost has that, like almost has that theatrical, like a theater play feel to it, except not like David Mamet like. It's just well written, is what I'm saying, and well acted.
Nice.
So I recommend to anybody who is okay with something that might creep them out to the point where they don't want to sleep by themselves with the light off.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I happen to like that kind of thing myself.
Yeah.
And my wife really appreciated it a lot. Like I said, she didn't really have any expectations, so she just unequivocally loved it. And once I got past the, okay, this is one of those things where they're just going to make a lot of changes to it, and then I was fine with it too, because it was very well made, I thought. Well, another thing we're going to watch, it's not on yet, but we are going to try to watch, is, it's going to be on Netflix, is Sabrina...
Oh, Sabrina the something. It's Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but they named it slightly different. It's a reboot.
Yeah. We're a little iffy on it because, you know, Sabrina, the comic that it comes from is in the same sort of universe as Archie, right?
Yeah.
So we're a little afraid that they just gave it the Riverdale treatment. But I saw a review on it from someone.
Well, and of course, then there's the fear that they gave it the Sabrina the Teenage Witch sitcom
treatment. Yeah, right. So, but I heard a review recently that sounded like it might be more interesting than that, so we'll probably give it a try.
Okay.
Are you going to...
Sabrina? Probably not.
Also, we're watching Supergirl, and Charmed, a new Charmed is after it.
Yes.
So we went ahead and watched the pilot.
What did you think? Jazz apparently liked it, but had no experience with the original.
It wasn't too bad. Somehow, I saw part of the original. Somehow, I don't
know. I saw quite a bit in syndication. It again, was one of those... It was on in the morning before work thing, so I ended up watching a lot that way. Yeah. I'm wary of any CW show.
Yeah, well,
is what it comes down to.
I remember not thinking very much of the original, but we went ahead and watched this. Because the thing about CW is, like, Black Lightning, for example, we're watching the second season of that. And, you know, the show doesn't shy away from dealing with contemporary social issues.
Yeah.
And Black Lightning in particular, I think, does a really good job of it. Supergirl tries to and sort of trips over itself sometimes with it, but still, I admire the effort. And sometimes it really hits the right notes.
Yeah.
So, that you know, we wondered if this version of Charmed would maybe be a little more feminist in flavor.
I think it kind of has to be, because I think that's what the time and place they're doing it, like, you at least are going to have to fool people into it being more feminist.
Well, and also...
Although, again, the original Charmed was very 90s feminist.
Oh, I suppose
that's just
so.
A different
thing. Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, the same thing's often said about Buffy. You know, it was very 90s.
It's the same way that, you know, designing women was very 80s feminist.
Gotcha, right.
It missed a lot of... It has a lot of blind spots that we now can see.
Yeah.
But for the time, it was breaking into some new territory and doing some messaging that hadn't been done before.
Well, this...
You know, it's Joss Whedon feminist.
Yeah, right. Don't even get me started. But this version of Charmed is interesting. First of all, the three young women are... None of them are white.
Yeah.
The biracial woman is a scientist.
Ooh.
And, you know, it doesn't look like it's just going to be a casual thing, like, oh, we'll just make her a scientist to tip our hat to the STEM people. No, she's, like, actually going to think and act like a scientist
and
in these circumstances.
That's a potentially awesome narrative device if you've got a witch who's a scientist.
Yeah, right, like,
there's
right.
There's so
right.
much fun with it.
So
they
that.
Pulled that in the Dresden Files a little bit.
And one of the young women is, I think she's a lesbian. She might be bisexual. I don't know. So there's that aspect of it. So it's very, you know, they're taking every opportunity to have a certain type of representation and to address certain issues. And, you know,
they're hitting the beats, which is a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start. And other CW shows do this kind of stuff too, including The Flash and Arrow to an extent. And I do appreciate what they're doing. It's not always great. it sometimes misses the mark, but just to know that someone out there in a fairly popular medium to a certain age group anyway, is attempting to do these things, I think that's worthy. And of course, since I'm a DC fan, I can forgive a lot of little foibles here and there and watch these things. But I think Black Lightning
I've heard it's really good.
Is good TV. I mean, it's clearly several steps above most of the other CW shows, even the other CW superhero shows. And I encourage people to give it a look. But yeah, so we watched Charmed right after Supergirl. And I think we'll keep doing it because it looks like it might do fun things. Mm. But what about your week?
Oh, my goodness. All right. Still writing. Writing is moving along.
Good.
Writing is moving along better because I have finally got a licensed copy of Office on here. So I don't... Google Docs is great for holding material where you can access it anywhere. And it's great for sharing material. It's not great for writing on it. You can only write as fast as your internet connection and that stuff, and it gets weird. So now I can write a lot faster, which is good. I just recently finished up a chapter that bugged a lot of people in that they're just like, nobody's reacting the way they should, and you're trying to make it creepy, but you're half-assing that as well. So I fixed that, and to the point now that actually I'm going to be putting in another chapter. There's a section that was just resolving some stuff in like a paragraph, and I'm like, no, that's going to be a whole new chapter.
Hmm.
I'm really having to flesh out Abraham.
Yeah.
There's so much... He didn't make sense to a lot of people, and I've changed the whole relationship around. He's now known her since she was a little kid and all sorts of stuff. But yeah, so this is going to be a lot of setting his character. So that's been going well. We watched a movie. We'd actually watched part of it already, but then we were too tired and we went back to it later, and I didn't want to talk about it until we watched the whole thing. We watched A Girl Walks the Street Alone at Night. I don't know, it's some weird, like, it's some sentence like that. A girl walks, maybe just a girl walks alone at night? I'm not sure. It's a thing from a few years ago. It's an Iranian horror film.
Mm.
that apparently was like the first one out of Iran in like 30 years.
Huh.
It also was written, directed, and starring a woman.
Hmm.
And it's essentially a vampire movie.
Oh.
And it got a lot of adulation in certain... It was actually done through... Sundance has, you know, like grants they do for filmmakers and stuff. It was done through that. So we had always been meaning to watch it. And it's sitting on one of my Amazon channels as, you know... My Amazon channels are horror movies, so it's October, so they're throwing a bunch of stuff. Like, the original Halloween is on there. We may watch that. The original Psycho's on there. We may watch that. A bunch of stuff like that. But so this was on there, so we watched it. It's very interesting. It's a very arty movie. It's in black and white. There's some definite Bergman, Fellini vibes in places. It's... Trish said it was very pretty, but she wasn't sure what it was about. I say I got a lot of meaning from it that might all be in my head. I'm not sure the filmmaker intended it, but it is really well shot and pretty and interesting, but it's very arty. Like, I can tell you the beats, but I don't know I can tell you what the story. I mean, I'm not going to tell you any of that because it's spoil it, but it's not particularly violent or anything. It deals with some heavy subject matter in places, but it's weirdly funny in places. Like, there were a few times I laughed, and eventually I'm like, I think these were intentional jokes. Like, there were a couple times where I like they just didn't realize what they were saying. I'm like, no, it's subtitled for those who are bothered by that. Some people, I don't know that anybody who listens to this podcast is, but some people are. So it's definitely got subtitles. They didn't dub anything. So so it is interesting. I already said Acquit, Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I went on the wiki, and I read the details of every episode through season 5, which is when everybody said I could stop.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel... I mean, it wrapped things up. If it had ended there, it would have been okay. But they clearly set it up to keep going. Like, stuff happened at the very end there.
Yeah, I suppose.
That showed it wouldn't necessarily be the end. And it also, because since then I've been reading, well, I've been jumping around a little bit, but I've mostly been reading just the season summaries all the way up to the current stuff. I am glad I got out when I did, because I'm pretty sure if I had made it even like one season more, I probably would have been hooked in, because it's clearly one of those shows that keeps you going with just twist after twist after twist after twist.
Well, they also...
And everybody who ever... Nobody ever dies the first time. It's a little like Farscape that way. Nobody ever dies the first time.
Well, they also... Eventually, they have these great episodes that have a lot of meta stuff going on. Like one of the mysteries is that a...
And some of that's in the first 5 seasons. They have the bit where they go to the convention for their own
exactly.
Show.
That's what I was going to bring up.
There's still a lot of fridging. It seems to lessen as it goes on, but there's still a lot of fridging. There's still, like, the two main characters are still weirdly homophobic sort of through the whole thing. Stuff like, I don't know. I'm glad I got out when I did. It was intriguing to read the rest. They play with mythology in ways I enjoy. They definitely had a scale creep. Like, oh, we've saved the universe. Oh, wait, there's something bigger than the universe. Oh, we killed the ultimate evil. Well, there was an ultimate evil. Like, I mean, we pulled the God and Lucifer shoot 10 seasons ago.
Yep.
We had to get bigger than that.
Yep.
And now we're running out of things to call them. The last season, we had to call something a cosmic entity because we'd run out of words that were big enough. Like, that's... Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Well, one of the fun things about that show where they went to the convention, to the Supernatural convention, was, you know, there were a lot of people there. There was a LARP there, too,
yeah.
And so there were They met other Sam's
and Deans.
Yeah. And then they had to deal with another thing they had to deal with. Either in that episode or actually several episodes this came up, they had to deal with Slash.
Yeah, you know, that comes up a lot. And at the end of that episode, the Sam and the Dean they've been hanging out with turn out to be a gay couple.
Yeah, right.
Which weirds them out. Again, weirds them out. Like, there's a lot of...
It weirds them out because of the brother thing, not because of the
gay
thing.
No, but also very... It's a 90s and early 2000s thing. Like, I understand it in the first season, but it feels like their socio-political sensibilities are the same as when they started.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
been 13, 14 seasons.
Yeah, that's right.
They should have matured.
yeah, you would think.
And that's the thing, is like, Sam and Dean have both died like 12 times, been to hell, been to heaven, been to everywhere. They've been the devil. They may have been God a couple times. I don't know. And yet, basically, they're the same dudes.
Yeah.
And that's a little weird.
Right, right.
So, no, I mean, if people like it, that's fine. I'm glad I got out. I'm really getting into Orphan Black quickly. I'm only like 4 episodes in, and I'm really starting to enjoy it. I am flabbergasted by Tatiana Maslany's ability.
Amazing, just amazing.
She is constantly playing different people who look exactly the same, and I forget.
Oh yeah,
it's the same person.
That's how good
in
she is.
The moment.
That is how.
And
good
I'm
she
now
is.
Understanding why everybody apparently was constantly pissed year after year when she didn't get an Emmy nomination. Because
well.
This is insane. Funny coincidence. Been watching this. Happened to watch the other night. I had some time to kill, and I'm catching up on the most recent season of Drunk History because I love Drunk History. I'm still trying to figure out why exactly, because it's not a Schadenfreude thing watching these stupid drunks. There's something about the lowering of inhibitions that then they really... Because it's always a history story that like is their favorite story from history kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and so they get really into it, and I enjoy mm-hmm. that. And I happened to watch one the other day that was actually about the suffragettes in Britain learning jujitsu so that they could fend off the police who
mm-hmm.
were beating them up.
Mm-hmm.
But... the main person in the flashback sequences, I'm like, is that? And sure enough, at the end credits, it was Tatiana Maslany. I was like, what are the odds?
Wow.
Here she is.
Wow.
She's amazing. We have finally established the premise enough that, like, I don't feel lost. And we're just about to head into, like, lighthearted hijinks for half of an episode. I'm like, it's about time. Because it was too much before of, like, don't know what's happened. Any person anywhere could turn out to be the bad guy and kill you. And like, you know, there's a lot of mystery and twists in the show.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of just, like, the first 3 episodes are, like, in media res, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, okay, I feel like I could basically explain what's going on now and
right,
we can
right.
progress. So I'm enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of it, and I'm way more into it when I'm at the gym, so time goes a lot faster, so that's fun.
Good. That's a plus.
Yes. I thought I had another thing. I don't think I have another thing. Now we can get to the thing I really want to talk about, which is the Netflix series that I thought you might have watched.
Okay.
Instead. The Curious Creations of Catherine MacDonald.
We just saw the first episode of that tonight before
I came God, let's talk about this.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
How much of it have you watched?
We've watched 3 out of the 6.
We just watched 2. Or 1, I'm sorry. We just watched 1 so far.
It's, but, okay. Trish found this spontaneously.
Yeah, my wife found it, too.
I had seen, like, Netflix was trying to toss it at me, and I watched the little Netflix trailer that just happens, whether you like it or not, for, like, 3 seconds and moved on. And somehow, based on that, I thought it was some weird anthology story. No, it is not. I don't know what it is, but it is not that. The closest, like... small blurb I can come up with for explaining it is like if the old Food Network show Pioneer Woman was reimagined by Tim Burton. So,
well,
like,
my wife was familiar with this person.
Yeah, she's apparently Instagram famous.
Sure, yeah, right.
And she makes weird macabre stuff on that.
Yes.
For those of you at home, I'm going to try to explain this to you. This is 2 shows simultaneously.
Kind of.
Neither of which makes sense and certainly don't make sense together.
No, they don't.
So, one of the shows is a cooking, crafting sort of instructional show. As you would see, like, on the Food Network. I reference Pioneer Woman. Pioneer Woman's exclusively about cooking, but, you know, semi-homemade and stuff like that. There's cooking, but there's also some decorating and clothes making and stuff like this that happens. From this woman, that's all very macabre.
Yeah.
Like the first two episodes, you get two different instructions on how to make eyeballs for your cooking.
Right, right.
Like, there's a... And also, just stupidly intricate.
Yeah.
Like, if you... Like, in theory, you could, for the most part, do what she's talking about. You would need, like, a week per project. These are insane. Every single cooking project requires sculptor's tools. I am not exaggerating.
No. Right for the very first episode, sculptor's tools.
You will see that in every single cook... Everything yeah. she cooks, sculptor's tools, all the time.
Yeah.
It's just hugely, crazily intricate. Like...
And some of them large. Like the house.
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah. The house was huge. But even the bones, which was like the simplest thing yeah. ever. Making these... Using pretzel rods and peanut butter and chocolate to make these bones... It would take you days. And I mean, they come out as things that genuinely look like human bones
yeah, right.
that are just chocolate and peanut butter pretzels, which is awesome, but holy shit. And that's show number one.
Yep, that's one.
Simultaneously.
This is where it gets weird, really.
It's a show about a woman who lives in a house where she welcomes in and lives with monsters and dead things and a reanimated raccoon that was in a trash compactor now has a fork for a hand and is horny all the time and a 3,000-year-old cat mummy that she somehow revived and a fridge with tentacles. I know you think it's a fridge that like has something tentacled in it, but it, trust me, there's a thing that happens later. That fridge is part of the being, whatever
oh, okay.
it is. And there's more things. There's so many more things that live in this house. And it's scripted.
Yeah.
It's like a real show where plots happen. Trust me, plots happen. It gets way more involved. We ended on, like, I'm sure there's more stuff, but like the next episode, neighbor comes over, whole thing, holy shit. At the same time, like these are, we say two shows, it's not like one and then the other. No, these are simultaneous shows.
They're happening at the same time. Though.
There's puppets, a lot of puppets.
Yep, puppets. Yep.
Also, the company that's doing it is called Henson Alternative.
Oh, I don't.
In the credits.
I didn't
and
know.
I can't tell if that means it's a branch of Henson that does like freaky shit, or if it's a company that is being really much an ass and they're like, here, we're the... the alternative to Henson. I genuinely don't know.
I don't know either.
But I don't know anything else about this show either. She's Instagram famous. She makes this stuff. She's very attractive, and that's part of the thing. She's very nicely dressed,
mm-hmm.
and she looks very pretty all the time and stuff. She's not a great actor.
No.
Like, I want to give her credit for making this. I assume a lot of this was her idea, if not all of it. She's an EP on it. But she's not a great actor, and that's weird, because actually the people playing the puppets are pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Some of them are pretty veteran voice actors and stuff like that. I don't understand what the show is or who it's for, but I love it. I love this show. This is the same part of me that loves Joe Parra Talks to You, and that's the thing, like... This feels like it should be on Adult Swim, but it's slightly too productive to have been on Adult
oh,
Swim.
Right.
It's also way higher budget, clearly.
You might get something done watching it.
Yeah,
or might
at
learn
least
something.
You could, yeah. Like, so many times. Freaking out. Also, you've seen it once. You will see it many more times. Use transparent icing gel to give the eyes that wet look. Oh my God, that happened so much. And I've only seen three episodes. Like, who's your favorite so far character?
I mean,
Cause
probably the cat so far.
That's the thing. It comes down to Team Rose or Team Rankle for the most part. and Rankle gets the best lines.
Pretty good lines.
Like, every once in a while, a line gets slipped in. That you're like, that was from a different writer, and they pay that writer more money. And Rankle always gets those lines. Because there's ones that are just slightly oblique. Well, there's a point where somebody, they're talking about killing someone, and someone suggests they kill them with kindness. But not like as a stupid thing. They're like, no, we'll just kill them with kindness. You know, like, in other words, to say, instead of killing them, you
right,
know, we'll
right.
kill them with kindness. And Rankle's response is, oh, that takes so long, though. And I'm like, that. See, that's a different.
That takes so long.
Yeah, he's got some great. He has some oaths that he does, and there's this one thing he does that's supposed to be a poem, and Edgar's like, that doesn't even rhyme. He's like, it does in the original Egyptian. So he does get the fun line, but Rose is holy. Running joke, and I say running joke because it shows up after the first episode. She's, like I said, she's presenting, like, how to do this stuff. Everybody in the house is always like, who is she talking to?
Yeah, right.
Because she just looks out, and, like, when you're at her camera, it looks like one of those instructional shows. But every once in a while, you cut to the monsters, like, hanging out in the kitchen, and they're like, what? Who are you asking?
Yeah.
But, and the projects are absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really want to know what her childhood was like. At this point, my only assumptions are very wealthy and parents weren't around a lot. But I really want to know what was going on there. I mean, she's incredibly talented, but why is she incredibly talented in this way? And how did it turn into a show like that? I don't understand. And don't get super excited, people. It's a pretty low-key show.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty chill. Not a lot of running around, screaming, stuff. Rose is obnoxious, but whatever. But it's just, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And your question, who is it made for? I mean, that's what we were trying to
figure
out. Well,
we have to start with what is it? Before we can get to who, and I still haven't figured out what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm both relieved and sad. There's only 6 episodes, and I don't know. I mean, maybe it becomes a phenomenon, but it's just so. I make no mistake. I am 100% recommending this for absolutely everyone. I cannot think of an audience that I'm not recommending this to, just because at this point it is a unique life experience. But I don't know what to do with it. I may be recommending it just to sort of crowdsource intel on it, because I don't understand what is happening.
Well, it's not really made for kids.
It is definitely not made on a few levels.
Yeah,
it's not made
for
kids.
So it's an adult audience for sure. But I don't know.
It's like when we discovered HomestarRunner.com and didn't really understand what the point was. And even today, I'm like, I don't know that I could explain Homestar Runner. Like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you the story of how it came to be, but not why it came to be or what it came to be and who it was for. Because, again, not kids.
No.
But, I mean, adults, but, like it's fairly, well, I want to say it's fairly wholesome, but it also is definitely not. The second episode opens with the neighbor complaining because Rose has been fucking his garden gnome. So, like, that's not for kids.
No.
I mean, they don't say fucking. They say it nicer. The language is fine in it.
Well, the word fornicating is used in the first episode.
So it's that kind of thing. No, and it is a character trait that Rose is really horny all the time.
Yeah.
it's fucking bizarre, people.
It is bizarre.
I don't, but I love it. Watch it. Everybody watch it. And tell me what it is, because I don't understand.
No.
It's.
I mean, I think my wife intended to continue, you know, to watch
it. Do it.
Because why not? But
and they're not very long. They're half-hour episodes. It's not even a big time commitment. And this is the thing. Is we're getting tired of watching Nailed It. So this was another sort of shift for that. Because Nailed It's fun, but just a little at a time. And it's sort of the same thing over and over. This, I don't know what's happening. I don't understand what this show is, and I can't leave that be. And it's just so wholly unique.
Maybe it doesn't know what it is.
For sheer originality. And it feels like I would be a hair's breadth less weirded out if this was a YouTube web series.
Well, yeah, I can.
Although
see
the production values in it are great.
Yeah.
The puppet work is not, I mean, it's not Guillermo del Toro level,
well,
but
the big question is why, you know, if they wanted to show this woman doing her thing so people could kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at it. Why add the puppets in the story?
That's right? And if the puppets in the story, why are we making... Because it's about the things she's making.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you... No, that's the next episode. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, oh God, I don't want to spoil it. Like, I feel like I could. I feel like it's a show you could have completely spoiled, and it wouldn't change the sort of shock value of everything.
Yeah, no, the aesthetic.
But there's
what it is.
They point out a lot of things. There's more to see after that. That first episode lets you know the concept insofar as at all we know the concept, mm-hmm. but a lot of questions that go through your head, I'm not going to say get answered later, but become self-aware, like they ask the questions
mm-hmm.
and things that add more dimensions of confusion and point out things along similar lines of who is she talking to? And yeah, I mean, we watched three episodes back to back. I'm fairly certain I said, what is happening? Like seven times. And then, yeah, by the eighth time, we got clear, transparent icing, which in and of itself, the fact that this woman is so deep into her baking that transparent icing is a thing, and not like she tells you how or what, like, you know, when you have it lying around. But the fact that it is always, always, always applied to the eyeballs to give them that wet look. What is happening?
Well, you know, there's a couple times while you're watching it, at least the first episode was this way, where you can tell where she's giving the instructions, and then there'll be a patch of overdubbed something she says. Like, and usually it's where you get the impression that in the first run through of the show, they realized there's an important piece that we didn't talk about
right?
here. So you can hear a difference in her voice that shows that they did a pickup recording or something to overdub in that board. Like in the first episode, she's talking about the color of the roof. And she's talking about it and suddenly the roof isn't white, it's brown. And you're like, is she going to explain how she made it brown? And then there's a little, the audio changes in just a subtle way, so you can tell it's voiceover. And I airbrush.
Also, she airbrushes fucking
everything. Yeah, she airbrushes everything.
Everything.
Like, what airbrush? Where are we getting one of those?
And also, spoiler alert: sometimes she's full of shit.
What do you mean?
Some of her things that, like, okay, the best example is in episode 3. She teaches you how to sew something. And she's just a fucking liar. She's having you put darts in things by freehand cutting. Just put, try making a dress. And she's like, it's basically five rectangles. And we're like, no, it's not. And she's like, and so then you cut these triangles. And she's just freehand cutting darts. And we're like, no. No.
Well, this is
and
what I'm
by
saying.
The end, her dress does not look like somebody who freehand cut those darts.
This is what I'm saying. I think there was a first run through of a lot of these episodes where afterwards someone said, she's actually not explaining this very good. And so they did some voiceover stuff, but apparently in one episode, she never explains it very well.
No. Well, and then after the skirt is like, and then make a top, basically. Is what, like, she doesn't go into that at all.
I don't think she's very good at explaining things.
She might be like a crafting demon. And I don't mean that's her character in the show. She might be like a crafting demon and then, like, used her demonic powers to get a TV show.
Maybe.
I don't know. People, listeners, I don't know what's happening. And that's why you need to watch this show. Also, it's fucking amazing. But I don't know what's happening.
It's weird anyway.
You should watch it. The Curious Creations of Catherine, I think, McDonald. It's the only show that's the Curious Creations of something on Netflix. Okay, you'll find it. Also, Netflix is trying to shove it down your throat since it's October. So
she is good at making stuff, and it looks cool.
But
I mean,
obsessed with...
Yeah.
She made wolf paw donuts, and the claws are almonds that you've taken your sculpting tools to and made part of it look like a claw, and then took your sculpting tool and cut out little tiny holes in the donuts and then stuck it in so just the claw part is sticking out. Looks amazing. I'm terrified of the mind that figured out how to do that.
Well, in the first episode, when she makes a little werewolf-like thing out of Rice Krispie treats, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And then she decorates it and stuff. But one thing she does is she uses, she gives the thing little claws and little teeth. Did you see how she did that?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was like, how? You, there's no way that I could do that and make it look like that.
Oh. There's another one of the voiceover things.
And they sure were doing it, but
she does some icing stuff that is so detailed that she's just doing freehand that they had to put a thing in it. It is tricky.
Yeah.
But if you practice a little, and I'm like, fuck that. You're magic. Because, and it's a single, it's not special. Like, you see her doing
yeah,
it,
you,
and you're
you,
just like, normal humans can't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you just, you watch her do it,
and
but
really
you can't believe it.
And shouldn't do that. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you watch her do it. And like you said, why would she even think to do it?
Yeah, no.
And then she does it.
I want to know what a childhood was like. Something happened. Some shit happened that made her like
this. Some people are just really crafty and she just applies it to
terrifyingly crafty.
Yeah, yeah, she's really good.
Like, is that the thing? Like, if she had been brought up slightly different, she'd be like the world's best assassin or something.
I don't know.
But instead she makes cakes. Like,
or something.
Is this like an alternate version of Black Widow or something?
I don't know.
Like, see? No, we don't know.
And
So watch it.
And who knows what else she's good at being crafty with. And it's just the cakes are famous.
Murder? disappearing children?
Does she freak you out for real?
I mean, don't. The whole thing freaks me out. I don't understand what's happening. And so I'm scared because TV shouldn't surprise me, like, existentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it.
Like, I don't understand the metaphysics of this show, and that's the new thing. No, but I love it. I absolutely love it. I just don't know what the hell's happening. So if you know what the hell's happening on Curious Creations of Catherine McDonald, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell us, or commiserate with us. Jazz, if you haven't watched at least one episode by next week, I'm going to be really mad. As you're telling, you have nothing going on. Just binge all six episodes and then get on there. Stu, I think your children can all watch this, so go ahead. I think they'll be fine. I mean, insofar as any human is fine watching this. But yeah, no, I certainly don't. I don't feel like there's an age appropriateness issue at all in this show. They may not be as into it. Oh, they might, because it's puppets and stuff. It's kind of cool, but
sexually frustrated puppets.
Yeah, but I mean, again, there's no actual swearing. There's not a lot of. I don't think it's particularly explicit or anything. It's just weird as hell. So check that out. All right, we should. I mean, the hat seems less interesting by comparison, but you know, whatever. Make sure you got your sculpting tools.
Craig.
Craig, who didn't say anything in response to my implication that he might have married his sister last week, which leads me to believe he's behind on his episodes. I even tagged him on Facebook when I put it out there, but
this is really a question for you, I think.
All right, lay it on me.
I mean, maybe me? I don't know. I don't think so. Have you ever considered recording your game sessions as actual plays?
Well, have you ever considered recording your game sessions?
I mean, I haven't run any games.
No, but you've still been in sessions. You
well,
got to record.
That's true. I don't know how you do that.
You take your phone and you hit record.
Just so people can hear it?
Yeah, no, this is the thing. Happy Jacks does a lot of other people do. There's plenty of like podcasts and stuff that are this. People just listen to people play games.
Huh.
They find it entertaining. I find it entertaining. I used to listen to a lot of them in the same way that I would go and watch people game. Mm. Same thing. It can be very fun. I don't know. I feel like it must change things to do it that way. And I'm basing this on the fact that no recorded actual play session ever sounds like my sessions. We get off topic a lot. We make a lot of like inside jokes that nobody else would get. So I don't know. I mean, the answer is yes, I have considered it. Not for quite a while, though. And I don't know. The big thing... I'll put this to you. You've gamed.
Yeah.
Think about how you are when you're gaming.
Right.
Do you think you would be different? I mean, I guess you game in public, so it's some of that already. Do you think you would be different if you knew you were being recorded audio-wise while you were gaming? Do you think that would cause you to role-play differently?
I can only guess, probably. I think it would be hard for knowing you're being recorded not to have an impact. I also think I'd probably forget about it pretty quickly because...
One would hope so, but there comes like a bit more of a stage Friday thing because you're like, if I say something stupid, everybody at the table laughs and we move on. If I say something stupid and it's recorded...
It's forever.
Right. The internet laughs at me.
Right. Yeah, It probably would have a chilling effect on me personally.
Yeah.
Just
and that's what I'm wearing. I actually don't think it would have too much impact on me because I'm a master of asshole theater, as people like to call it. But I do think for some of my players it might.
Well, it's kind of like this podcast. I've talked about how it's hard for me to talk because I'm not just talking to you. So.
And you've had practice. 8 years of weekly podcasting, and you are way more open and easy talking than you used to be. But even now, you still struggle with
it. Oh, yeah, I struggle with it because, you know, what would make me think about it and what would be inhibiting about it is it has to do with my upbringing. You know, you express yourself in a way that's appropriate for the audience that's there.
And you can't control the audience when it's recorded.
Well, it's not an issue of control.
Predict the audience.
Yeah, I don't know who the audience is. I don't know what the audience is. I don't know who might be listening or you know. So I can't craft what I'm doing to the audience. I don't know if I'm going to say something that would be offensive, not to the table, but to whoever's listening, you know. So it makes my brain sort of seize up because I don't know what to do.
And there are, I mean, I don't, I certainly don't want to get into shades of locker room talk. Absolutely not. But in the basement with my friends who are from a somewhat diverse background, but like we're all white and stuff like that. We sometimes say stuff that's a little inappropriate. And generally if one of us does, the others will give them crap over it. But it's still, there's a little safety in knowing you're in a relatively private setting.
Sure.
So.
Well, but it's like some games that we play, even in public, they'll have that, you know, like a card or something so that someone can let everybody else know if the interaction is getting a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think that's more in a public, yeah.
Which is
for that kind of thing.
Which is fine because the only thing that's inappropriate about a game session getting maybe a little blue, for example, is the comfortability of the people
Absolutely.
That are there.
Yeah.
But again, if you're recording it, you don't know who's listening, so you don't know how appropriate or inappropriate it might become.
Yeah.
Because it's a game. That's all. It's just a game. And if everybody's okay, it can go a lot of different places. It's not like it gets weird or anything when we're playing in public. But I don't know. There may be things that, and you know me, I'm not going to be that comfortable with a lot of blue stuff either.
No,
might be more comfortable with something than someone else is, and I don't know who's listening. So
you don't want to, you don't.
And I don't want to offend them. So that would be a problem for me. So yeah, it's mostly around that, and also, but it also might be around. No, it's mostly around that. I mean, I can't think of any time it's ever like gotten say. Racist or something or anything
no
like
see
that.
And that is the thing for in the thing like somebody like uses an accent for an NPC and we'll even be like
yeah, maybe.
Dude, what are you doing
right,
and
everybody right, right, right.
But like sometimes we'll still just go with that for that one character, and we'll be like,
sure.
Yeah, that was weird. But it's different if we're recording it, you know?
Right, right, no, right, right. I hear what you're saying.
Well, and I have my thing. For some reason, every time I try and do any accent, it turns into one of two accents. one of them is old Jewish lady, and the other one is Inigo Montoya.
See?
It always turns it, no matter where I start, Russian man, French woman, like anything, they always, every language, every accent eventually turns into Inigo Montoya or old Jewish lady. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I suppose there's that. I suppose there's that. Although, it doesn't seem like in our sessions we go out of our way to use
I like accents because I'm very big on, and I think I got this from audiobooks and stuff like that. I very much like different voices.
Sure, yeah.
In my stories right. and in my role playing very much. And I think I like funny voices and stuff too. I like to have a character sound like this. But eventually turns into an Inigo Montoya or old Jewish lady. I don't know why.
I've often, you know, when we have sessions, and I've been missing the playing in public for like months now. We even missed it this month because we had too many things to do on the Sunday that it came up. But when oftentimes when we have a session, I think to myself how fun it was and how fun it would have been if you were there. And
everything's more fun if I'm there.
And, you know, sometimes I think, oh, I'm going to tell someone about this, maybe you, maybe someone else. And then I realize, no, it's so specific to the group of people that
you wouldn't get it. That you had to be there kind of thing.
It's a very much you had to be there kind
of
thing.
So much of gaming has that vibe to it.
Which means that, I think that if it was recorded, even if we weren't telling inside jokes or anything, it would still, like, you wouldn't be able to see people's faces, which I think is a big part of it when we game. At least it is for me. And other things, I'm just not sure.
But no, but this is a component. Like, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't know. I haven't polled any of the listeners. But I'm betting some of the things we say here make them laugh.
Okay, maybe. Hope so.
But it doesn't necessarily work. Like, well, like, you and I were absolutely dying over the King of Kings cake thing last time.
Yeah, because I thought that was pretty funny.
And I would not be surprised to hear that other people are.
Oh, okay.
When I tried to explain it to someone, they were like, huh, yeah. And thinking about it, I'm like, no, that is the appropriate response to the concept.
Yeah.
But if you were in the moment, it was but because it's a podcast and they're listening, or if it's an actual player or whatever, they have been there.
Yeah, right.
And that's the thing. If you recorded your gaming session, then everybody who listened would get those funny bits.
Yeah, I guess.
And they're very cool. I like actual play recordings. They are also another way to experience a bigger breadth of role-playing without having to go through the effort of role-playing.
True.
So like, oh, I can see how another GM does it. Oh, I can see how another a game I've been curious about actually plays out. Oh,
well,
I can see, you know.
That's true.
Even to the degree, oh, I played this module with a GM. Let's see how this guy does it. We had some problems with it before. Let's see if this guy gets around it.
Well, all of our sessions, there's quite a bit of explanation of how the game actually works.
Yeah.
Even as the game's going on. So that it wouldn't be a situation where like, okay, I'm going to explain the game, then I'm going to start record, because people are still going to be asking questions throughout the entire game. And I don't know if that would be very entertaining. I mean, it doesn't bother us because we're in the game.
The podcast I listened to for a long time called Critical Hit, which was, I think, it was a spinoff of a podcast that was about comic books. And one of the people involved found out that one of the hosts had never played any role-playing games, and the others had played a lot, and one in particular had been a D&D Dungeon Master and many, many things. So they decided to do it, and they played it on... they made a podcast of it, and we went through the entire campaign, and a lot of that was instructional. And I found it very useful because it was 4th edition D&D, and I was very curious about 4th edition D&D. So that was very cool. I got to, like, I feel like I understand 4th edition D&D pretty well now from the podcast. But you also got to go through the campaign, and you sort of hung out with them, so you got all the jokes and stuff like that, and you wanted to know what would happen next in the story and stuff. So it was pretty, again, it's a certain type of person, but it's a very effective sort of tool. But I've also like I said, Happy Jacks has done individual things. One of my favorite things is I heard that somebody had taken Savage Worlds and made a one-shot for a convention called Escape from White Man's Planet that was basically a role-playing game of a blaxploitation movie, and that apparently it had been hilarious. Mm. And I found there's a recording of the guy who did it, and it is pretty hilarious. And so that was really fun. So there's definite uses for them, and I think they're very cool. I don't know. It's a combination of I'm not sure I would be good at it, and I think maybe you have to alter how your game works a little bit to do that, and I don't know that I want to alter my game in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I have thought about it. I would be much more likely to do it with a one-shot or a con game than with a full campaign, I think.
Well, I mean, I've heard like... Harmon. What's his first name?
Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
On Harmontown they
played. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when I've seen that or watched that, it's pretty clear that they're playing the game in a specific way that allows the players to riff and allows the players to
It's playing it light. It's playing it as a bit sort of.
Yeah.
And I mean they do play, but yeah. However, those same people ended up playing a real game in somebody's home because they wanted to really play it. And I think they turned that into a podcast where they just record what's happening.
Yeah.
Cause they wanted to like really play. Cause that one, a lot of it is just, it's we're playing pretend. Like you and I could sort of sit here doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's along those lines. So you listen to some Harmontown?
Well,
listen to those.
You could get some on YouTube. I mean, and so there were like a couple where they animated it and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I watched a couple of those. But there were only a couple available, but they were fun. I mean, they were fun to watch and to listen to.
But yeah, Kumail Nanjiani got involved in that.
But it didn't seem like...
He played a character named Chris DeBerg.
Yeah. But it didn't seem like they were really playing. It seemed more like they were using it as a jump-off point to do jokes.
They were sort of playing. They were playing, but it was...
I mean, they were rolling and stuff.
But. Yeah. But it was a very light version for an audience kind of deal. Yeah. It wasn't. And it was always for like 20 minutes or something, too.
right,
like not real stuff going on. All right. We are out of time. So, I mean, I don't even care if you keep listening to the podcast, but you need to go watch The Curious Creations of Catherine McDonald and tell me what is happening. Because I don't understand, but it's amazing. Check that out. Also, I think next week we got to do a double episode, don't we?
Yep, two-parter.
That's going to be exhausting.
398 and 399.
So come back for that. I mean, for you it'll be more than just next week. It'll be the week after.
And then 2 weeks later, episode 400.
Oh my goodness, I wonder what we'll do for that. Probably a podcast.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.